Coming up on podcast 1223, The Button, capital T, capital B, finally arrives. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also today, why VW likes competition, BMW's iX arrives with dealerships, and Daimler investing with Stellantis on batteries. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 26th of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. It's my job. It's what I do. It's what the Patreon supporters and community pay me to do. And welcome to a new, old, new Patreon supporter, executive producer Chad Lane. Now, Chad signed up 3 months ago, and I'm only just now adding him to the list on the show notes because I am an incompetent fool. Oopsie. Sorry, Chad. I got some new names to read out tomorrow of people that signed up today, not 3 months ago. We'll start with great news about a quarter of all new cars being plug-ins in the Western European market. So BEVs or PHEVs. In other words, they've got a plug socket on. Close to one quarter of all new passenger cars being sold last month in August, according to data published on the European Electric Car Report website. It's an 18 market region, which is defined as Western European. 152,000 cars, passenger cars, that's the volume, 24.2% is the market share. Just incredible. Like, you and I know that EVs are here now and about to explode. So many people seem to just be catching on. And if you're listening to this podcast because, well, that's you, maybe you're learning about EVs or you're researching, hey, welcome along. You can learn along with the rest of us, and welcome to the gang. Next, we'll talk about Hawaii and their EV market share. Hawaii has the nation's second highest electric vehicle market share, but 16,000 cars registered there out of 1.2 million is indeed a drop in the bucket. Drive Electric Week kicks off today. To help accelerate EV adoption, if you're taking part, then let me know how you are taking part in Drive Electric Week. That is according to Ryan Ozawa, who has the Twitter handle at Hawaii. Man, he was there early, right, on Twitter. If you bagged at Hawaii, I'm surprised they haven't wangled that off you somehow. That's amazing. I got a friend who has his first name on Twitter. It's just at and then his first name, because he was there like in the first week, which is brilliant. Right, let's talk about The Button, capital T, capital B, as it is known in Tesla circles, is finally arriving. After months of waiting, Tesla owners who wish to take part in the company's full self-driving beta program can now get access. Actually, let me find reverse gear for a moment, because that's not exactly true. Those that want to take part in the beta program can now formally request access. You don't just get to download it. So the way The Button was described by Elon Musk, and I think was interpreted by the Tesla community, was that at some point in time, i.e. yesterday, when you're on Wi-Fi, you'll click on The Button. You will then join the beta program, you download the latest version of full self-driving, and bingo, bango, the car drives itself. Not the case. It's actually very different. You can now request to have the beta version. That is The Button. You click on Request FSD, and if you are eligible, you get version 10.1, says teslarati.com. Similar to the beta program that's been operating for the last year, the first batch of testers, which was really employees and those kind of YouTubers that are only going to say nice things about the system. This could be seen in the heavy emphasis in terms of not allowing everybody to get it straight away, but offering it out maybe to a group of safe testers. I know it's really hard, because unless you're a trained safety driver, people say you shouldn't be driving beta software, but hey, that's deep into the weeds, and we're not going to have that argument now. But there is an emphasis on cautious driving when you click on The Button, and Tesla references it in his recent update, as well as the use of safety scores to determine which drivers become eligible for the program. Tesla makes it clear that access to the Advanced Driver Assist System, don't call it self-driving, will be revoked at any time if they don't want you to have it anymore, which is great. So you can spend $10,000 on a product and Tesla say, no, 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 we're having it back. You can now request early access to full self-driving beta pending eligibility, says the screen in your car. It'll say this if you see it, well, if you're in the US, it'll say, to get started, tap Controls, then Autopilot, then Request FSD, and follow the instructions. When you've done that, you'll see a message which says this: thank you for your interest in limited early access of FSD Beta. The Tesla team is analysing your vehicle driving data and safety score to determine eligibility. You can view your safety score from the Tesla app at any time. If eligible, you'll receive a software update as part of the limited early access, Tesla wrote, adding that owners also have the option of opting out of the FSD program. Well, the move delighted fans of Elon Musk and Tesla, but it risks drawing the ire of the Federal Vehicle Safety Authorities, who at the moment are deep into an investigation about Tesla for possible safety defects in their driver assistance systems, writes CNBC over the weekend. Full self-driving beta is, by its very definition, as all beta software is, unfinished code of Tesla's premium driver assistance software. It's either going to cost you $10,000 or $200 a month. The company previously made FSD beta available to 2,000 people, employees, and some customers who were allowed to test it out on public roads, even though the software has not been debugged. It is still beta software. Tesla's systems tabulate a driver's performance. Now, let me explain what, if you open up the Tesla app, what you'll see. You get a score based on predicted collision frequency, forward collision warning per 1,000 miles, hard braking, aggressive turning, unsafe following time, and forced autopilot disengagements. So, you get a score for each of those. Sounds much like an insurance risk assessment, but if you're a good boy or a good girl, after 7 days, so come back in a week's time, Tesla will be reviewing your data and make their decision on whether you get access. So again, this is not everybody, which is what we were sold and what we were told. This is very much a lot of people hitting the I'd like it button, but not all of those are going to get the you may have it answer. Love to know your thoughts on this big story today. Been waiting for, a year to read this story out. So it's so good to finally, for those listeners that I have in the US that drive Teslas, to have a little play with it. But, fingers crossed, it works okay for you. I'd love to know. Next, we'll talk about Tesla's German landing being good for competition. The planned opening of Giga Berlin this year will force the local industry to step up its game, according to Volkswagen's chief executive, Herbert Diess, on Twitter. And he tweeted this on Friday. According to Reuters, efficiency is key for the transformation of our industry in Germany, he said. Tesla develops in shorter processes, works closely with the best in the industry, and takes more risk, said Diess in a tweet. He's a known admirer of Elon Musk and Volkswagen, which is Europe's largest car maker, the world's number one car maker, according to some metrics, wants to overtake Tesla, who are the world's top seller of electric cars, and they want to do it by 2025. A claim that's underscored by an ambitious plan, building 6 large battery factories here in Europe, some fully owned and some joint ventures. Next, we'll talk about Tesla installing its 100th supercharging station in Shanghai in China. Now over 1,000 stalls there. Tesla installing their 100th Shanghai supercharger. They're going to be inaugurated next week sometime. In just 7 years, the company's installed more than 1,000 stalls in just one city. To increase people's commitment to electric vehicles, writes the Tesla fan blog Tesmanian. They say that Tesla in China has achieved another milestone, this 100th supercharging station in Shanghai. The grand opening ceremony is going to be in 3 days, September 29th. The new supercharging station is at the Shanghai landmark Raphael Sky City, in case you are interested. Next, we'll talk about BMW and the iX reaching European dealers. BMW has officially said it will begin shipping the iX, that's their electric SUV, in November. So we're just over a month away from that, but it looks like it's happening even sooner in some locations like Poland. But are these dealer cars? I would say probably so. We know that the BMW iX has been in production for a while, and we saw dozens and dozens of them around the IAA Mobility Show, says Inside EVs. Well, BMW offers the iX in a couple of guises. There's the xDrive 40 and the xDrive 50. So you either get 321 horsepower or 516 horsepower. You either get a 76.6 kilowatt hour battery pack, 71 usable, or you get a 111.5 kilowatt hour, 105 kilowatt hour usable battery pack. So quite a big difference between those. The smaller battery pack will take you 264 miles, that's 425 Ks, and the big battery pack will take you 391 miles or 630 kilometers. Now, this is not a cheap car, but it's one that I'm seeing increasingly talked about very, very favorably. Pricing for the iX in Germany starts at 77,000 euros for the xDrive 40. And I was talking to my buddy from the Inside EVs podcast, Tom Malogny. He was in Munich, invited. He was a guest of BMW's for the week. And so he got to drive the iX and some hydrogen stuff as well. So I can't remember what he told me. That I'm not allowed to pass on, so I should never have started this sentence. All I'll say was he really, really, really liked the iX, but I don't think I can tell you anything. I think there was an embargo of October on his videos and driving impressions. So, yes, for the sake of not getting him in trouble, I'll shut up now, but he really liked it. Right, coming very soon, we'll talk about one German researcher converting Teslas to hydrogen power. Oh dear. And why Daimler are teaming up with Stellantis on batteries. Stick around, that's coming up. Now, an update to a story last week. Well, in the last week or so. If you rewind a few days, I told you about a story coming out of Australia, and Australian Which Car website was talking to a senior BMW executive. It was the person in charge of the i4 project. So, very senior, I presume, authorised to talk to the press. Now, the headlines that then circulated after this interview was widely reported, which was BMW are capping their electric range at 600 kilometres. Now, this person didn't actually use the word cap. Didn't say we're never going to go higher. But they did say, why would you want to make a 1,000-kilometre car? Like, we've got a car that'll do 600 kilometres. It was the target for the i4. That's as far as we're going. So the kind of word cap came about by the media. But either way, clearly BMW got a little bit stung by that. I was one of those that did re-report that article. Full attribution to the original source, of course, the way it should be done. Now, Which Car spoke to David Ferrofino in Australia about the subject. He claimed that BMW electric vehicles would go to 600 kilometres and that the charging infrastructure was more important. Get a fast charging car, get enough chargers around the world, and why do you want to carry around a big battery that's heavy, using up natural resources and cost? And I agree with him on that, but it turns out maybe he shouldn't have said that. You know, I think in corporate world, we call it misspeaking. Maybe he misspoke. Maybe he had a little phone call from his boss. What the hell have you said to the press, David? Because this headline went around the world. Now, BMW have felt the need to issue an official statement on this matter. They are not capping the range at 600 kilometres. They have said it was a miscommunication on BMW's part, says BMW blog. From what we're told, the range figure of 300 miles on EPA, 600 kilometres WLTP, was a target number, not a cap, a target for the i4 and the iX. Now, what did the BMW comms team feel the need to put out there to the media? I'll read you their statement, and I quote, "The BMW group will not stop to further develop the electric range of their battery electric vehicle portfolio. The BMW iX and i4 are the first fully electric models within the portfolio to allow for a range of 600 kilometres on WLTP and everyday driving. Thereby, they fulfil exactly the target range which had been set for their individual market segments." And the story doesn't end here. "The BMW Group will continue pushing the boundaries of all aspects of electric driving. This applies in particular to further increasing ranges and higher charging speeds depending on individual models." End quote. So there you go. It was widely reported. I need to rewind and or even look at the script that I wrote on that podcast. But I think I was broadly in when I was talking about this, broadly in support of what he was saying. I mean, you know what, I would go further and say what we need, and I said this point on the Inside EVs video podcast on Friday, 2 days ago, so if you heard me make this point, feel free to fast forward 30 seconds. We don't need a conversation about range, and we don't need a conversation about charging speed. We need a conversation about use case, because that's what matters in the world of EVs. Everyone, well, so many people in the EV world, which are guys obsessed with numbers, want to go biggest, fastest, 0 to 60, fastest charging speeds. I'm not sure what it says they're trying to compensate for, but lots of people, and I see mostly in men, are obsessed with these metrics. I'm obsessed with use case. If you can have a milk float that does a 15-mile round every single day delivering milk to my doorstep, and I do get my milk in bottles on an electric milk float, right? A fancy modern one. But still, why would you have it going 1,000 miles, right? It's about use case, whether you're doing an electric digger or an excavator or something to move goods or personal transport. It's about use case. Maybe it's a city car that'll do 100 miles, but is really cheap. Right? I'm not saying a 100-mile EV for 30 grand. Or maybe it's a car like the Lucid Air, which will do 520 miles, for 150k plus. It's about use case, surely. So I don't disagree with what this BMW guy was saying, because why carry around more range than you need to if, a big if, capitalized big stars around it, if the infrastructure is there. And it's not there in some places. It's not there in many places. So moving on. What have the Germans done now? They've taken a Tesla Model Y, which they bought, and turned it into a hydrogen car. The German Federal Research Minister, Anja Karliczek, revealed a bit of a Frankenstein's creation. That would be a Model Y, which they tore apart and put hydrogen power into. They call it a hyper-hybrid. According to Futurism.com, it was meant to represent the concept behind hydrogen fuel that is a street-ready vehicle. The Carbon to Chem initiative aims to decarbonize the steel industry, design the car to demonstrate new ways to save energy and recycle fuel. Yeah, I'll tell you how to save energy. Drive an electric car. There is no need to tear apart a perfectly good one to put hydrogen inside it. That, my friends, is rather pointless. Next, Daimler and Stellantis, two juggernauts of the electric vehicle world, are joining forces and taking stakes in automotive cell manufacturer. Mercedes-Benz parent Daimler taking a third stake in the French battery maker Automotive Cells, ACC, together with Stellantis and the French petroleum giant Total. Each company holds an equal third share. As Mercedes-Benz ramps up production of EVs and transitions to become EV-only, this company, the cell company, ACC, will help them scale up their development and production of their next-gen electric vehicles. Investments from Daimler, Stellantis, and Total bring together the additional expertise, they say, of these big companies. Daimler said earlier in the year, more than 90% of their future Mercedes-Benz models will be built on a common battery platform with standardized interfaces. And that's your podcast for today. Right, look out for question of the week. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be your answers to how long you waited or would wait for an EV. So let's set a brand new question of the week, which you can start emailing me your answers to now, ready for next Sunday. So if you have gone back to a combustion car, having driven EV, if you know someone that's gone back to fossil, or play along with a game for me. Imagine you had gone back from EV to combustion. Why? What would be the reason be? What was the reason? If that's you, and it's fine, I'm not judging you, what was the reason you went from EV back to combustion? If you know someone, what was their reason? And if you haven't, let's play a little game, little imagination game. If you absolutely had to go from EV back to fossil fuels, what would it be? What was the reason? For me, and I haven't gone back, for me, I think I would say charging infrastructure. It's not reliable enough at the moment, hand on heart. I mean, it's getting there in terms of scale, but you know, I've turned up at Shell recently, whole unit was off. Drove to BP, whole unit was turned off. These are the new, fancy, shiny BP 150 kilowatt units at a BP petrol station off the M40. Whole site turned off. That was almost me stranded that day, calling a tow truck. I just crawled to somewhere else. Went to Shell that day, all turned off. I don't think there is enough regulation, let's use that word, of essential infrastructure at the minute. If I went back to petrol, that would be the reason. And I'm not, but hey, you play the same game and you tell me the answer. Email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast. Thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. But I give you a mention every day. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.